The grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, on this day you revealed your Son to the nations by the leading of a star. Lead us now by faith to know your presence in our lives and bring us at last to the full vision of your glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Word of God, word of light.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 72 responsively. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's sons. That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people and the hills in righteousness.
Let them defend the needy among the people, rescue the
poor and crushed. May he live as long as the sun and moon endure, from one generation to another.
Let it come down like rain upon the mown field, like showers that water the earth.
In his time may the righteous flourish. And let there be an abundance of peace, till the moon shall be no more.
May the kings in Tarshish, and the isles of Atrium, and the kings of Sheba and Seba, offer gifts.
May all kings bow down before him, and all the nation do him service.
For the king delivers the poor who cry out in distress, the oppressed, and those who have no helper.
He has compassion on the lowly and poor, and preserves the lives of the needy.
From oppression and violence, he redeems their lives, and precious is their blood.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Ephesians. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it now has been revealed to his holy disciples and prophets by the Spirit, that is, the Gentiles, have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I also may go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, I'd have to list Epiphany along on the top of my five favorite liturgical feasts. I like Christmas and I like Easter, but I really like Epiphany. The readings are so rich. There's so many levels of meaning and so many different directions a preacher could go with these texts. We could talk about opening the treasure chest and sharing the gifts that we have. Or don't give up. Always keep searching. Let your light shine in the darkness. And then those gifts. Offer your gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, those gifts have not only a physical meaning, but they also have a symbolic meaning. Gold, fit for a king. Offer your gold, the gold of your life, which is the knowledge of who and whose you are, the gift of knowing that you are really God's possession. Offer that gift to God. Frankincense, used in prayer, rising to God, that wonderful fragrance. Offer the frankincense of your life to God, your prayers and your offerings, making your life a pleasing fragrance to God. And myrrh, it's like embalming fluid, used to represent pain and grief and sorrow. Offer God the myrrh of your life. Let your sufferings join you to God and to all of humanity. There's another lesson in this Epiphany feast. The word itself means an appearance or a manifestation of divinity. In our celebration, we hear the story of the kings being led by that star to the Christ child and finding there the presence of God. Not only for Mary and Joseph and a few of the native shepherds, but for all the people of the world, Jews and Gentiles, men and women, all the people of the earth. Our God doesn't remain hidden from us or far away from us. Our God is an Epiphany God, a God of presence and revelation, a God who wants to be in a relationship, a loving, caring relationship with people, all of God's people. God's loving heart doesn't wait for the seekers to find him. God goes searching for us. God searches first. You know, God told his chosen people through the prophet Isaiah that they were to be a light to the nations, so that the blind would see and prisoners would be brought out of darkness. And we heard St. Paul telling that it was his job to carry that light of Christ to the Gentiles. And Jesus told his disciples that he was the light of the world. The light of the world that came to be for the sake of the world. And Jesus tells us, his disciples and seekers today, that we are to be a light of the world. That we are to let our light so shine that everyone might see and give glory to God. What's the favorite Sunday school song of all the little children? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know, that should be our theme song. That should be our Christian theme song, that we are going to let our lights, at least it's the Epiphany theme song. But even though there are times when we don't feel like such bright lights or very successful seekers, God makes it very clear that we are to be those lights, to be an epiphany. We are to be the star shining in the darkness, a sign pointing to God and to what God is up to in the world today. We are to be a manifestation, an epiphany that started out on that cold night in Bethlehem in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Someone told me yesterday that he had never seen an epiphany. And I say, look in the mirror. That's where the presence of God is. The presence of God in you and in me too. We are all an epiphany. Being one of God's beloved children is indeed a privilege. We're forgiven. We're loved. We're marked with the sign of the cross of Christ, sealed with the Holy Spirit, marked forever in holy baptism. We are members, called to be members of this family, to be for one another. Being one of God's beloved children is indeed a great blessing, but it has its duties as well. We have to let our light shine. We have to live in opposition to the darkness that's in the world around us. We have to be a light to the world. Sometimes I find it very easy to be the light. At Christmas time, when the church is full, families are gathered together, there's joy abounding, people are generous and kind, looking out for one another. It's easy then to shine with love and be filled with joy. It's easy to be loving and forgiving and generous and kind. It's easy then to be the light. But it's not always easy. It's not always easy to point to God, because God isn't always where we expect him to be. God is a vulnerable child lying in a manger. Our God is a loving healer who ate with sinners, who healed those who were broken in body and in spirit, who preached good news of welcome and relationship to those who were outcast. God's love is beyond comprehension. God's amazing grace poured out for you and for me. God in that bread and wine that nourishes us for our daily life. It's not always easy to be a light pointing to God. It's not easy when there's empty chair around our table where a special loved one so recently sat. It's not easy when young children and our elders are suffering with disease and illness. It's not easy when young soldiers are far away from home and in harm's way. It's not easy when there's no job, no money in the bank. It's not easy then to be the light. It's hard. It's hard to be that light shining in those dark places. And yet, we are called to be the light that shines in the darkness. We are called to be the light that shines so that everyone can see our God, a God who is light in whom there is no darkness, a God who forgives even from the cross. And that's how we are called to be the light in the world, the same way that God shines. In forgiveness, in love and mercy, and in a promise of hope. Even when we don't feel very bright, or maybe especially when we don't, we can remember Epiphany and the promise of this day that God's light will shine in that darkness. Last week, one day, I got a call from a woman, not a member of our church. She would claim that she is not a very bright light when it comes to revealing God's presence in the world. She knows me because I pass by her house often when I'm out walking. She's a Christian, but not a church attender. Well, she always goes to church on Christmas. Well, most of the time. So sporadic annual church attender. So she called me on Wednesday, and this was the phone conversation. Karen, come and see me and bring a cross. I said, what do you mean? And she said, a cross to wear around my neck. I said, okay. So I went home and went through a box and found a cross. I couldn't find a chain, but I found a ribbon. So I put it on this ribbon, and I went to her house, not knowing for sure what to expect. And she told me, just walk in, because she said, I'm not able to come to the door. So just walk in. So I get to this woman's house and hope this is the right house. Walk in the door. And she's in a bed in the living room. And she told me that starting on Christmas Eve, she had spent the previous, from Christmas Eve until Tuesday, in and out of the emergency room and the hospital. And On Tuesday, the day before she called me, she had been in the hospital having some procedure done. They never did figure out exactly what's wrong with her, but in this procedure, it turned out to be quite painful. And she said to the doctor, as he's or she is doing this procedure, do you mind if I sing? Because if I don't sing, I'm going to start screaming. And the doctor said, oh, sing away, please. And she started singing. Jesus loves me, this I know. And she was so surprised. She was so surprised that this song came out of her. At the core of her being, this is the truth of her life. When she was in pain, calling out, what pops into her head is this truth. Jesus loves me, this I know. And she wanted a cross so that she would not forget this truth that through her most of her 78 or 88 or however old she is years, that she had forgotten. But she realized at the core of her being, when it was the darkest spot that she'd been in a long time, that the truth of the light of Christ's love, the light of God's love, is shining out. She called me yesterday. Karen, come and see me. Bring a Bible. Somebody said to me after the service, after the first service, wait, the next phone call is going to be, Karen, come and see me. Bring an offering plate. The truth is, Jesus does love us in the light and in the dark. So let your light shine. And as the prophet Isaiah wrote, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Lift up your eyes and look around. You shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, and all shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Amen.